It's overcast and raining. I'm Gab. He's Jules. But guess what, Jules? Because Euro Sunshine is in our hearts. There's so much going on. We're coming at the business end of the group stage. We'll be talking about France's setback. We'll be talking Italy 3-3. Yeah. Holland have already won the group game after just two games.
Because, best manager in the world.
Because De Boer's just that good. Yeah. Scotland get a draw at Wembley. How about that? Sweating a little bit, Gareth.
Yeah.
But one place to start, which is Germany against Portugal. I did a piece on this. I thought this was the best game of the Euros from a neutral's perspective.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, from Germany to be so average, let's say, against France, to be so good in the same formation with the same players, no changes, which I was a bit surprised with, to be honest with you, Gab. Before the game, I thought Jogi Löw would change, maybe keep the formation, change a few things. I was really hoping that he would change the formation and not have Kimmich right wing back, but turned out that the wing backs were the answers, certainly on that game. And then we can talk about Portugal later and how naive they were tactically, because that's also why Germany was so good. It's because Portugal was so bad. But the two wing backs, Gustavsson and Kimmich, were the answers.
I don't think I remember a game international level where the two wide players, you know, this is like watching Liverpool. Remember Liverpool in their prime when they'd have like Trent, Robertson, and back, and they'd switch play, and the other team would get all confused. This is kind of what they did. And it was tremendous because, like you said, all the conventional wisdom, including us, said, well, you know, Joshua Kimmich, he's your best midfielder. Why are you playing him out wide? Yeah. You know, Gosens, you're changing the whole team for Gosens. You know, who's Gosens for you to do that? Blah, blah, blah. But it worked. Gosens early on had that chance that was disallowed because Gnabry was offside.
It would have been the goal of this. What?
Which would have been
one of the goals of the tournament.
Well, yeah, with Schick, it can't be the goal of the tournament, but it would have been close to it.
Yeah,
it would have been
close to
it. In the end, by the time the dust cleared, the pair of them forced both own goals.
Yeah.
And when we say forced own goals, those were forced own goals. Gosens had had a goal between them. They had like a goal and two assists.
Scored the header, Gosens. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was tremendous every time they stretched them out. So do we need to revisit our views on Yogi? Are you still going to call him Yogi Bear?
He is Yogi Bear because I don't think many opposition teams going forward now, starting with Hungary on Wednesday and then the last 16 and etc., will be again as naive and kind tactically to this Germany side. Okay. If I told you before, okay, this is how Germany will play with wing-backs. And as we know, in that formation, the wing backs are your key players. If you block the wing backs like France did against Germany, then you take a lot away from that performance. Yeah. Explain to me, how did Portugal not do something against Gosens and Kimmich? Not double up their own channels or change something or do something.
See, you're like the media, right? Rather than praise Germany, I agree. Like, you can't call Fernando Santos naive. You can call him negative. You can call him crepuscular. You can call him, like, you know, somebody who walked out
and
came
naive
out of the grave
on Saturday.
I don't know if he was naive as much as he didn't recognize the danger. He underestimated the danger. Those wingbacks, by the way, the fullbacks that they had, Semedo and Guerrero, are both more prone to going forward. They didn't get help, I think, from, you know, it was a 4-2-3-1. They didn't get help from, or as much as they needed, from Jota and Bernardo Silva, who
definitely
were out wide.
I think then change something. He changed at halftime with Renato Sanchez. That didn't change anything.
I think the idea at halftime was to go and try to dominate the midfield more and try to get back into the game. That didn't work. It's tough with Portugal. I mean, we said before the tournament, it's tough to see how these pieces fit together. Cristiano, we saw that thing that we're going to celebrate him forever and talk about his hunger with on the six-yard box. He clears the ball. He runs the length of the pitch. Which, by the way, I mean, it's what I expect from Cristiano because he's Cristiano.
Yeah.
By the same token, Germany's defending off the corner was so bad. You always have somebody there if the ball gets cleared out.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Bernardo Silva can get it. Bernardo Silva is not the fastest man in the world, by the way.
You know who they left at the last man on that corner, Germany, was Kai Havertz. One, to start with, why would you not want Kai Havertz in the box when it's your corner?
Yeah.
And then why would you leave him on the halfway line to defend? Because clearly, as you saw with the ball from Bernardo to Jota, he had no idea if he steps up.
Havertz seemed completely confused and lost on that occasion. I mean, look, great player,
crazy.
Got on the score sheet and everything. But still, you need to do better there. And if Germany are to do anything in this tournament, I think they need there's still a whole bunch of things to fix. We will be talking about those things that you have yet to fix in the Gab and Jules podcast.
They're pretty great.
All right, Jules, let's rewind a little because I think we need to talk about Yogi Löw a little bit more, because I think we've all been harsh on him. We've all made fun of the way he looks and the way he dresses. This time he avoided that. Remember, he had that weird black T-shirt that made him look like a guy from like an art gallery in the Augustinerstrasse, contemporary art, you know, who's awkward and weird. This time he was wearing that nice button down.
Yeah.
His friend Sorg as well.
Yeah.
His sidekick still looks kind of awkward and weird.
Yeah, of course, that would never change.
But the guy won a World Cup. And there's a reason why he won a World Cup.
And in a way,
not just that, but I think more than the World Cup, he's held the Germany job for a very, very long time. And that tells you that you make mistakes, but you have the courage of your convictions. I don't know, in total honesty, I don't know if he sticks with this system if he didn't know he was leaving after the World Cup. He kind of has that weird luxury, right?
Yeah.
Where he says, you know what? I don't need to listen to the media. Yeah. I don't need to hang on to this job. I'm going anywhere. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
If I go down, I'm going to go down on my terms.
With my ideas.
I already proved who I am, what I can do. I've won a World Cup. I've done so well with the national team over the years. I was, you know, the brains behind Jurgen Klinsmann's operation in 2006 when you all talked about, you know, what we did. The book, Das Reboot, is essentially about me, right? So you know what? You guys shut up. You shut up and you shut up and you shut up. I've accommodated. I've taken Mueller and Hummels back. You know, I didn't want them. Fine. Now leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to do things my way.
And
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that he kept the same team and the same formation despite all the criticism after the France defeat and all of that showed that. Although there could be one more game and after that it's over. So he really must trust this system and these players to play them again, because they can lose to Hungary on Wednesday and this is it. No, but it's possible.
He could also get, the earth could open up and swallow him up. But he played France, who everybody's so excited about. They only lost 1-0. They could have been a lot more.
Yeah.
But in the end, I think I really like this whole concept of the vindication, because Fernando Santos, we can criticize whatever, but he's been around the block. He's an experienced coach. And to not have that answer for Kimmich and Gosens like that. And look, maybe it's also as simple as France's fullbacks, as you know, the ones who played in the first game, are center backs pretending that they're fullbacks, right? So it's harder for Gosens and Kimmich. Semedo and...
Semedo? Who is Nelson?
Guerrero is essentially a winger playing fullback. Semedo, I'm not sure what he is, but, you know, he's on the pitch. So maybe it's as simple as that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Portugal in a bit. But on Germany, the intensity was right up there from kickoff. And you saw, even after Cristiano's goal, the first one, they should already have been 2-0 up anyway, Germany.
It could have been, yeah.
They were so good from the start, and they had to be. The energy was fantastic. The intensity was great with the ball. And when you've got Kimmich and Gosens and Cruz and Gundogan and Havertz and maybe not Müller and Namu so much, but in your team, the flow it should be good and the ball should move well and the movement and everything should be good. The problem is, as we saw, is the defensive transitions, which I think that they really struggle to. You're right. I think the complementary between the front three,
the chemistry
is not there yet, and I don't think they will have time to be there through this tournament probably. But there was certainly far more in that performance than against France. Also because I think again Portugal, and this is nothing taking away from Germany and their performance, but Portugal let them be so brilliant as well.
We'll get to Portugal. I just want to celebrate Robin Gosens a little bit more, because
It's
a great story. He was born in this place called Emmerich something or other, which is right on the border with Holland.
Yeah, more Dutch, really, than German.
It is, because it's...
Even his name.
I don't know how they drew up his name completely.
Yeah.
Well, he is half Dutch, in fact. But even like how they drew the map, if you go on Google Maps, I actually did this, there's like the river is like the border. And then all of a sudden, like on the other side of the river, there's like this German town, which doesn't really make any sense, on like the Dutch side of the border. But he had a trial at Borussia Dortmund. He was turned down. He played for like kind of no-name clubs locally, ended up at Vitesse Arnhem's youth academy, never actually played for them. played for like Dordrecht in the second division, yeah. goes to Heracles in Amalo, which is like a no-name club, no-name situation, and then moves to Atalanta. And the last 2 years, you know, 19 league goals in Serie A as a wingback. It's almost like he is one of those classic players who can do great things where the system didn't work. The system yes. didn't spot his quality. The system saw nothing there. And I think that's a good story. I think most Germany fans story. Didn't even know the guy was German until Jogi Löw called him up.
Yeah, completely. In fairness, his Dutch is probably better than his German, even, considering that he played pretty much all his youth career and even first-team career in Eredivisie or second division or whatever. I think he's great. And I think there's a limit to his game in the sense that he still has so much to learn, especially on the international level. All this is new.
All the Champions League experience with Atalanta, but, not good enough for you?
But even that is new. It's not like if he'd been playing 10 years of Champions no, League, you know, won a reached finals, etc. So all of this is new. But what's interesting, and I think you can make a lot of parallels with other players, is that every time there's a step up, there's a new level up, he goes, his game rises, and he's good enough. And then again, and then again, and then again. And as we saw against Portugal, he was fantastic. He's obviously much better going forward than defensively. And that's one of the limits, as we saw in the game against France. But if you play on his qualities, it's fantastic.
Well, what's interesting about, just on that point, is, you know, the joke in Italy was that, you know, Atalanta had put like a 40 million tag on him. And then after this game, you know, it's going to be 60, 70, 80 million. I was actually wondering about this because, like you said, he is a wing back. He's not a full back who plays further up, like maybe Rafael Guerreiro could. He's never performed well in a back four.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that he can be a traditional winger either because, you know, he likes to run from deeper and whatever. So in some ways that limits what clubs he can go to, right? Because I mean, what club that could afford to pay 60, 70, 80 million for him plays with a wing back? Yeah. Chelsea, but then Chelsea already have three wing backs.
And just spent 50 on one last summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Inter, who don't have the money.
Inter Barcelona, as we saw back three a bit last season. Yeah, ain't going to be them. They have Jordi Alba anyway. City don't seem to care about labels, so that could be something, although I'm not sure he's really that profile of player.
No.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah, really.
He may well end up where he is.
Yeah.
And score double figures in goal next season as well. Why not?
I'd be happy. Yeah.
But it is one of those stories, I think, that does give us some comfort.
Just to finish on Gustavs, what was beautiful to see, and for all the fans of tactics that are listening to us or all of that, is this ability from Germany to attract the Portuguese block on one side. And then just have this long diagonal and switch the ball on the other side where Gustavs was on his own, or the other way around from left to right where Kimmich then was on his own. And that's how they completely unsettled and unbalanced the Portuguese defense and midfield, etc. My issue, Gab,
and that's direct from the Klopp playbook.
Yeah, completely.
Okay.
Which a lot of teams do. It's not just Germany. It's not rocket science either. But and then that's a perfect link up to Portugal now. Once they do it once or twice, we attract you on the right-hand side and then we switch quickly to the left-hand side. Okay, how long does it take you to realize this is what they're going to do all game long with Kimmich and Gustavs? Let's make sure that we block it and it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and I think that was a real issue because, you know, when Germany were attacking, it was basically 3-2-5 that they were playing because the front three were all up there and then you had those two guys so far forward. In those situations, how are you going to defend that? Because you've got two guys sitting in front of the back four, William Carvalho and Danilo Pereira, both genuine defensive midfielders. Pereira probably quicker than William Carvalho, or certainly looks quicker than William Carvalho. You know,
slightly.
It's deceptive with Carvalho. Yeah. He's not as slow as he looks, and he's a very, very good player. But are you going to send Danilo Pereira? Are you going to force him to go to shift left and right to go and double up?
But he can just drop. He's intelligent enough and experienced enough to be able to
drop into the back three and send Guerreiro, Guerrero and Semedo,
exactly.
those wonderful one-on-one defenders.
No, oh, you said to Bernardo Silva, listen, did you see Griezmann the other night with France? Do the same.
Yeah.
You have to do the same. You can't let Gosens on his own. What was Bernardo doing?
Yeah, I think other than the pass, Bernardo did very, very, for the goal, I think Bernardo did very little.
And stayed for 45 minutes on the pitch anyway.
Yeah. Diogo Jota, I think, did put in a shift on the other side. But then again, Kimmich is a pretty good player on that side. You haven't mentioned Bruno Fernandes. You haven't criticized Bruno Fernandes in a big game yet. I'm assuming this is happening now.
It's coming. It's coming.
Please.
I just don't know what he was there for. Because this is my issue, Gab, and I want your opinion on this. I think they're caught in between two ideas right now. Fernando Santos himself, the players, you've got such an incredible attacking talent in that squad. But you have to choose between being the Portugal of before, that won you the Euro 2016, very solid, very defensive, very pragmatic, quite minimalist with the ball, which they were, and which is what is Santos' DNA, or try to dominate the game and the ball, and then, only then, you can play with those four up front, Jota, Bernardo, Bruno Fernandes, and Ronaldo. Otherwise, one of those four is too many.
No,
you can't play like you used to before, which brought you a lot of success with those four up front. Impossible. This is never going to work. Not just against Germany, but in general, this is not going to work, and certainly not on Wednesday against France. You have to choose between either one, and then you make sure that you get the ball, keep it, create something, play in the opposition's half. But if you want to play as deep as you did on Saturday against Germany, drop one of those four. It will not work.
I completely agree. I thought we had a situation where, off the ball, Bernardo Silva gave you nothing defensively. Yeah. Cristiano, you don't want Cristiano.
No,
other than set
sure.
pieces, you don't want Cristiano to track back, and that's fine. I got no, but also it means that in open play, he's not there to do the defensive work. Bruno Fernandes, it felt to me like he was picking up one of the three center backs. I'm like, dude, you don't need
Why
to do that.
Exactly.
What, you think Matthias Ginter is going to go on like a 60-yard run? Other than set pieces, you don't need to worry about him. No, so effectively that took three of your front four out of the game.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to defend effectively with six plus Jota, especially when two of those six are Semedo and Guerrero, who aren't those types of players.
You're right.
I think there's another issue, another wrinkle, which I've touched upon before, but I think we saw it again in this game, is you need Cristiano. If you have Cristiano, especially if you're going to play this way, you need to have a striker, somebody running behind.
Yeah.
You can ask Jota to do that. But Bernardo Silva's not going to do that. Bruno Fernandes can't do that. You can ask Jota to do that, but because he has the energy, even though he's not really center forward. But Jota can't do everything. He can't run behind and double up at the back on Kimmich provide crosses for Cristiano.
Yeah.
So I really felt for him in this game.
Yeah.
We will necessarily see a different Portugal against France.
They have to now anyway, because they could be, they could be knocked out.
But the question is, what is the best? Because on paper, my thing is, given it's Deschamps, we'll see the big blue bus in front of Hugo Lloris.
Here we go.
No, I don't mean to be unkind. So necessarily, you're going to have to try to keep the ball. I mean, would you drop one of the two defensive midfielders?
You have to.
You must, right?
You have
to. There's no point against France.
There's no point at all. And then you can have Renato Sanchez, for example, and then play if you want that front four. But then, again, that front four and having them like this will not make you as solid as you used to. So you will have to be ready for France to counter attacks, for France to have quick transition forwards when they have the ball. I just don't know if this Portugal team is ready. And this is what we said when we previewed the tournament. I don't know if you can just switch it on like this with the ball suddenly when you haven't really been working on it in the past before. And that's why I'm really curious to see. But they will have to do something different. And by the way, just to finish on your point, if you're André Silva, and you came on in the 83rd minute against Germany when you've been like 4-1 down and then 4-2-1 for ages, how must you feel? And again, if he didn't want to win the game, he was right to put André Silva on for just the last 10 minutes. Why not before? Why didn't you want to bring him on before?
That was one of the odder things. I wonder if maybe he feels he's still... I don't say he doesn't have the authority, because Bernardo Silva is a big star. I think he's too differential to certain players. And maybe that's why, obviously I'm not talking about Cristiano because that's inevitable, but some of the others. But yeah, I thought that was certainly disappointing.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Germans. Jules, how about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Now, we were on the France bandwagon, Jules, and now they're held by Hungary.
Yeah, okay. They were complacent to start with. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that for sure. They didn't take this game as seriously as they should have. They took it for granted. The atmosphere, I think, took them a bit by surprise. It's been a long time since they played, all of them, in a full stadium like that. No, it did. The heat, the pitch was really dry. Uh-huh. They didn't water it on purpose because they knew that France would have a lot of the ball. No, I'm kidding. Complacency is their own fault. Didn't take the chances they had. They could easily have been 2-0 up at halftime. You consider goal, you get caught because you made two stupid mistakes. Benjamin Pavard, who, by the way, we didn't have to wait from Saturday to know he was not a very good player. And Varane, which is more surprising and maybe more worrying. But at least you didn't lose. You came back in the game. There's no need to panic. Stay positive. You can still top that group. Beat Portugal. It's not as negative as maybe just looking at the scoreline would let you to think.
Varane did seem to react very, very slowly on that one. Man. And I was just kind of... I mean, look, we can give some love to Hungary as well, Fiola.
Great.
Fiola looks like... He looks just like some... He doesn't look like a footballer. He looks like some random dude.
But the guy has scored one goal in his whole international career before against Andorra, and now he scored against the world champions in a game that forever will stay in the legend of Hungarian football. It's amazing.
And if you haven't seen the highlight, the way he runs over to desk where that poor woman is sitting, she's not even looking in his direction. I think she's some delegate or some some tournament official.
Or match announcer, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know who she is, but that was pretty funny.
Italy make it 3 wins out of 3. Gab and Roberto Mancini made 8 changes to his starting 11 when they beat Wales 1-0, looking really good so far. Although some would say that they're yet to be properly tested.
Yeah, I just said it's a classic. You can only beat what's in front of you. So we know that against teams that go and park the bus, or like Wales decide to play without a striker at all, they have a lot of the ball. They will create chances. They were helped by Wales going down to 10 men.
Yeah.
It's almost always a different team because he made 8 changes. What's encouraging is I think the guys who came in played the way the regulars do.
Exactly.
It was nice to see Verratti out there.
Oh, he was good as well. And he had the armband at the end.
And he had the armband at the end, yeah, after Bonucci went off. I think the main decisions that, the things that Mancini has to think about now is, do I want Verratti back in the starting 11? And if so, in place of who? I think there's a good chance that Acerbi will start the next game ahead of Chiellini if Chiellini's not 100%, which I suppose makes sense. And I think there is a bit of a Chiesa conundrum because
he played well as well.
He has his ups and downs, but he brings you so much energy. But beyond that, good. My man Pessina also getting the job done.
He looks so happy too. It was great.
He is.
And now everybody, he's used 25 or he's 26 players. Raspadori came on. Cristante came on.
That was one of the nice touches
Sirigu
at the end. With a minute to go, he sends on Sirigu.
Yeah.
He would have sent on the third goalkeeper too if he could have, which he wasn't allowed to. But just to reinforce his team concept. So really good vibe so far. Let's see who they get next. Now, speaking of Wales, they advance in the knockout round in second place. Quite a result, Jules, given what we know.
It's a great achievement, I think. And Mrs. L obviously was very happy, and you can imagine, and the children as well, because, again, for such a small country to be able to defy the odds in a way, because we were not really convinced they would go through. But Turkey were poor, and they took advantage and beat them with a brilliant performance. They drew against Switzerland by being efficient and resilient. Italy were too good for them, even the B team, and there's no problem. But they had to avoid being spanked because they could have moved to third. And yet, on goal difference, they stay second, qualify. Yeah, and even the last 16 round looks quite open. It would be Finland or Russia probably. So you can imagine they can even probably reach the quarterfinals, which again would be sensational for this generation, and especially the young players coming through, because it's a great experience for them, of course.
I quite the blueprint. It's not going to suit anybody. Just kind of defend, set piece, Keith Shamore, Bale, wait for him to do something. Round but it, yeah, it but is what you do.
Exactly. Because then Shaqiri strikes twice at Switzerland, beat Turkey 3-1. Gab, they likely make it through, yeah, with
I
4 points?
So. I think with 4 points and their goal difference situation, they'll be good. Nice to see Shaqiri get excited and score.
Seferovic as well. If you would just give us the, like, you know, stop criticizing me, but you're not going to score again for 2 years. No. So we're right to.
Great goal by Turkey in that one, by the way. No, like Switzerland crew. And I think they can be uncomfortable to play against, depending on the opposition. Now, Spain failed to win as Gerard Moreno misses a penalty, and they're held 1-1 by Poland. Jules, I'm still on the Lucho bandwagon. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I am. I want to be. We all like Lucho, you know, the story, his dress sense, anything you want. The problem is there's a point where I can't find him excuses anymore. You know, we said, play Gerard Moreno, not like this. Don't get him stuck onto the touchline on the right wing. That's not what he does. You know, I still think he was a bit too slow at times, too flat. I think Pedri...
He still created the chances. Morata,
so they have the highest expected goals for what... I mean, I think it's six expected goals or 5.93, and they've only scored once. And that was a lucky goal from Morata, who, you know, was onside, but just about. And it was not even a move that you had prepared and work on with movement, great passing, etc. So, come on.
I don't know. I think
they need to show us more.
I think it can all click together all of a sudden. I worry when teams don't create chances. They create chances. I don't believe in the curse of Morata. I was happy he got off.
Although
I saw him like react to the Moreno penalty, which came off the post. I'm like, my goodness, what's this? But whatever.
Robert Lewandowski gets on the score sheet, Gab, for Poland, and they're still alive. Do you think they're going to make it through? They play Sweden on Tuesday.
I mean, they basically need to win this game. Yeah. I think it's a tough ask because Sweden showed that, you know, they can defend very, very stoutly. And they have Isak, who I think has been fantastic. I think what we're realizing is from Lewandowski's perspective is that, you know, it's a completely different game to play when you are off so often on your own up front, no matter, you know, because Zielinski and whoever else is behind you is going to be far further back. It's not like Bayern where you've got 50 people around you. He's fine. He'll adjust. As long as he keeps playing against Laporte, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Laporte was much better when he was French, that's for sure.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
England drew with Scotland on Friday night. Now, that means that a share of the spoils against the Czechs on Tuesday will see them through. But maybe you're still down on Gareth Southgate.
There's a few things on Friday night that I think he got wrong. You know, that's his opinion. Why no Sancho? I don't know. Why taking off Kane even less? Foden?
Wait, you have a problem with him taking off Kane?
100%.
But Kane wasn't good.
Kane is the player. Well, to start with, he's their best player. Two, if I tell you that you will have one chance in the 92nd minute, okay? I can see the future, Gab. You will have one chance. England will have one chance in the 92nd minute. Who do you want it to fall to?
I agree with you. Look, and I think in the end, if the late change is going to come, you want somebody like Kane there in the mixer or whatever. You know he's better suited to that situation than anybody else. And the weird thing now is, Jules, if they draw with the Czechs, they don't get to play at Wembley anymore. They have to go to Copenhagen.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I just want sexy football. Please, you've got the players for sexy football. Show me, show us. You know, stop with the two double pivot and the two defensive midfielders and this and that. Come on, Gareth, play with a bit of flair, play with a great flow. Give us the sexy football. Come on.
Give us Harry Maguire. Start. When's he? When's he
I don't care
fit?
So much about the defense.
No, but just you have a defender who can pass. That helps. No?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That helps. And Gab, a word on Scotland and Croatia, who drew with Czech Republic on Friday, which means that basically their game on Tuesday night is a knockout game. It's a what the last 32 then before the last 16.
Yeah, and it's. And it's a big blow for Scotland, as we just learned this Monday morning. Billy Gilmore has tested positive for COVID. Now he has to self-isolate. It's weird that I've actually seen Croatia play in person twice in this tournament.
And they haven't won. So
I think I am their bad luck charm. I think 1-1 against the Czechs. I think Croatia have to be favored. Yeah. But there's still this negative vibe around the team, whereas Scotland at home, even without Billy Gilmore, I don't know. I think anything can happen in this, and I might slightly lean Scotland's way.
They will take a lot of confidence from that draw at Wembley on Friday, because they were really good.
Yeah, no, they definitely were. Now, Jules, the Dutch were the first team to qualify as group winners. Have we been too harsh on Frank de Boer and his back three?
Best manager in the world? No, not at all, not yet. I mean, this is even a debate back home in the Netherlands. In Holland, they're talking about this. They say it's not real football to play with a back three. That's not in their DNA. This is not their football. This is not what they do. It's been working so far, although they played against teams that were very accommodating to the three at the back, of course. I mean, especially Austria. I mean, come on, they didn't. So Austria didn't play that game against Holland to win or to do anything. So let's see against tougher opposition. But it was good for their momentum, for their confidence, for De Boer himself to start well. They had to. They were at home as well. So we will see. But
Holland played Monday night. So by the time some of you hear this, this may be well dated. Maybe Frank De Boer looks like a genius again. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. Away from the Euros, let's talk Spurs and their managerial situation. Gab, what the heck is going on now?
All right, so when we last left the soap opera that is Spurs, of course, they decided to veer away from Paulo Fonseca, even though on that same day, which I believe was last Thursday, around 11 o'clock, they sent him the final draft of the contract the lookover. Very few things to sort out. And then 3 o'clock, Spurs decide, oh, no, we're going to talk to Gattuso instead. Sorry. As I understand it, I think Fabio Paratici's choice is Rino Gattuso. Paulo Fonseca had spoken even before Paratici arrived with Daniel Levy. They seem to be in the right mindset. The whole Daniel Levy, about Spurs DNA, attacking football, all this stuff. This is all stuff that Paulo Fonseca does. They went in the Gattuso direction for some weird reason. And then obviously that didn't get very far. I don't know. Do you think all the no to Gattuso stuff on the internet because of past comments, do you think that played a part to Levy?
I think that played a little part. Yeah, I don't think it was all that. I think the fact that his agent created problem at Fiorentina when he just arrived and left almost immediately was maybe another of the cons. I think if Levy looked the pros and cons and found more cons in the end, why?
Yeah, I don't think Paratici's playing this right, because I don't bring in somebody that comes attached to George Mendes. When I mean attached to George Mendes, I mean somebody where George Mendes is part of the package, as opposed to somebody who's just represented by George Mendes,
completely.
Right? That is certainly the perception, because otherwise they say, hey, Fabio, why am I paying you? I'll just go and pay George more money,
exactly.
And he can build a team.
Exactly.
So he needs to get this next one right. I would go back to Fonseca personally. I'd be humble about this and go back to Fonseca if you liked him the first time. If you went that far along that you had your contract in place.
So, yeah, it was all agreed, right?
There's no shame. You have a few details, but the main ones, but whatever. Crazy. We'll see. It's just a really, really bad look.
I mean, aren't the preseason supposed to start like everybody else in 10 days or something?
I hope Ryan Mason's still under contract, because it looks like you'll need him for the time being. Joan Laporta reveals Barcelona's financial situation is worse than it appeared when he took over. Good thing they've thus far signed Sergio Aguero, now Memphis Depay up front. We're talking Aguero, Depay, Trincao, Braithwaite, Dembele, Coutinho, Ansu Fati. And I haven't mentioned Lionel Messi because fortunately he's out of contract.
And you forgot my boy Griezmann as well in there, no?
Oh, yeah. Antoine Griezmann, yeah, the World Cup winner.
I mean, I think they can play Ter Stegen and then 10 strikers. they will score a lot of goals. Griezmann would defend a little bit. Not sure who else in that list would defend, but a 110 would be a 1-9.
You're joking aside, it's easier, right? Okay, fine. We're going to sell them. We're going to sell these guys now, right?
To who and when? And how,
but that's
how
the thing.
It's crazy.
Who are saleable? They all make, I mean, yeah, Braithwaite you can sell because he doesn't make a lot of money. You won't get much money back. Dembele is now injured, out for two months, right?
Coutinho is coming back from an injury. Ansu Fati is
And he makes a ton of money. Ansu Fati you wouldn't want to sell anyway. It's a mess.
It is an absolute mess. And we already debated on the profile of Memphis Depay and really the necessity of going and get Depay, even on a free transfer, is still a big signing on fee, still a big wages. Because we said, okay, how do you play, even if you just, if your front three is Griezmann, Messi and Depay, how do you play them all together? How does it fit? Do they actually really complement each other? But then if you look at the whole list, how do you play Aguero as well? And Ansu Fati, when he's going to come back, he Ansu Fati has to play. He's, you know, he's your prodigy from your own academy. If you don't have faith in him, and if he like becoming fourth or fifth or sixth in the pecking order, what's the point? So all of that, I just, a lot of it doesn't make sense.
No, and the players were hard to, can we assume they signed Aguero because they know something about Messi? Or maybe I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt too much, otherwise it makes no sense.
Crazy. Staying with Barcelona, Laporta was expected to put the club's Super League position to a vote among the delegates, but he declined to do so, saying that instead, the competition right now doesn't exist, though the process is still alive. Gab, what does he mean?
And it doesn't mean anything. I everything about this is confusing.
Completely confused.
I think he didn't put this to a vote because, by the way, this wasn't a vote of the Barcelona socios, the Barcelona fans.
Yeah.
This was a vote of Barcelona delegates who are like fan representatives, people in different. But it's still 4,457 people were invited to vote. 703 showed up. Now, if I were a cynic, like some of the Catalan press, I would suggest that the reason he didn't put the Super League to a vote is because he knew he was going to lose that
badly.
Vote.
Yeah.
And lose it badly given who was actually there. Leaving aside that, I have to question how much do people actually care and how well does the democratic process work if only 700 out of 4,400 people bother showing up. He said a lot of nonsense, as he often does. Like this, he says like, oh, but Super League would have been fair because 180 million would have gone into, because 400 odd million would have gone in solidarity instead of 180 million. That is completely incorrect. No, it's just not true because you have fewer teams, so other teams aren't going to get that money. So he's towing the party line. He frankly sounds like, you know, he's Florentino's spokesman on this one. Saying that you can't vote at it because it doesn't exist, but the project is alive and you're still in that company doesn't make zero sense to me. I think he's going to sit in the back of the bus and see how Florentino and Andrea Agnelli Juventus get on in their battle with UEFA.
I think he's time for holidays for Laporta. Just go on holidays. Just go to Marbella. Have a few parties.
I think that would be a very, very helpful use of his time as soon as he gets the Messi deal done.
Yeah.
Sticky with Messi because you can never have too much Lionel. He looks pretty sharp in the Copa America. He scored a stunning goal in the opener, that free kick.
Yeah.
Set up the winner against Uruguay, converted by Guido. Doesn't seem to be worried about his future right now. Does he know something we don't?
Maybe he does, Gab, but you're right. He seemed fully focused on that Copa America and winning it finally, eventually. I really like that game against Uruguay. They defended well, which is not really something that you associate with Argentina, certainly not in the last 10 years, but they hardly gave anything away to Cavani and to Suarez. No chances at all, pretty much. And they could have scored more goals because they were really good going forward. So I like a lot. They lost Lo Celso, who got injured, and maybe that could be a problem going forward, but they've got enough depth on the bench. So I'm really looking forward to the rest of this competition now. Brazil remained in the other group, remained the overwhelming favourite though, Gab, after beating Venezuela 3-0. They spanked Peru 4-0 as well with another great performance from Neymar. We said Messi and Neymar as well.
There's a shock. He's way up for it. No, look, I mean, there's a reason we say overwhelming favourites. They're at home, and even though there's no fans. But, no, Tite, I think, is one of the very best managers in national team football. I've said it before, I've written it many times. And they are the most talented team. So there's no, and they're at home, so there's no reason they wouldn't be the best. I need to see them later. I need to see how this.
Because
ultimately, the thing about the Copa America is you play all these games to go from 10 teams to 8 teams, and then you play in the knockouts, and somebody parks the bus, and it goes to penalties, and weird things happen. And usually, weird things happen that mess up Brazil, by the way.
Yeah.
That's kind of been the history of it. So, but so far so good, and it's great to see Neymar producing at this level and performing at this level. And you know, a lot of times Brazil are out there and they basically have four legitimate strikers or four legitimate front men when it's Neymar and Jesus and Richarlison and Everton or
Gabigol now starting the last game did well.
Weirdly, I feel weird saying it. Gabigol, I know you've been scoring for a long time. I know.
But he, you know, even the two keepers have played. First game it was Alisson, second game it was Ederson. He changes. I think this is a Copa America that you win with 20 players, not just the 11 or 14 that you usually play.
I want to see Ederson play in central defense if they qualify with...
Can you imagine?
No, I'm just kidding. Manchester United are reportedly prepared to offer Paul Pogba a new contract. There's reports here in England, a five-year deal. Jules, if you're Pogba, should you take it?
That's a good question. The other question is, United have to go for it. They have to offer him something, try to tie him up, because otherwise, tie him down, whatever the word. Otherwise, the risk is too big for him to be able to leave on a free next summer. If you Pogba, however, maybe you take your time. Maybe you see what's happening with the club, the recruitment, what kind of team you have next season. He was happy with the performance this season overall. You know, I think they're disappointing not to have won the Europa League, of course. You finish second. There's a bit of progression there. But it has to be backed up in the transfer window for next season if you really want to compete with City, with Chelsea, with a Liverpool team that's going to be much better than it was this season. So I think maybe you take your time. You take it, you thank them for it, and you say, you know what, I'm going to give you my answer in a little bit.
1 year left. You know, can I throw something out there? In case you're right. I'm not talking to you, Ed, because you've left.
He's gone.
Yeah, so Mr. Arnold or Judge or whoever you got, Matt. I can think of another team that Paul Pogba has been linked to in the past that he might want to go to that is also a big team that also has a star French player who's 1 year away from free agency. Yeah. I'm not talking about Kylian Mbappe. I'm talking about Raphael Varane, right? I just came
so
up
So I thought you talked about PSG and I would have told you
I
that.
Will leave that to one side. I don't need to talk about PSG. No. But what about a Pogba for Varane swap? They both have a year left. United could use Varane. United, by
it's
the way...
It's not the same value, though. It would be Varane plus a bit of money, surely.
Okay, so you sell Odegaard to some Muppet in the Premier League who values him at 60 million, and then Bob's your uncle. You've got Pogba in that midfield.
Yeah.
You can go with a Nacho, either Militao...
Alaba.
Defensive partnership. Alaba. Sorry, Nacho Alaba. That's not terrible, right? You got Eder Militao in there. Would that be so terrible? United, come here. With United, it's not a question of money. It's a question of getting stuff done.
Completely,
right?
Yeah.
So
I like this idea.
On, right?
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. But by the way, we're not reporting it. Which is
No. It's just one of
it's
Gav's
very,
ideas.
Very
trust me, Gav has a lot of ideas.
Many
not always as good
so,
as those.
You know.
That one. Christian Eriksen, meanwhile, has gone home after his surgery. He reportedly has been fitted with an implantable cardioverter defibrillator. Is that how you say it?
Defibrillator. ICD.
ICD. Does this mean that he will play again? I guess that's the question that everybody is wondering now. Maybe Christian himself, Gav.
There's a question before that, which is, does he want to play again?
Yeah,
right.
True.
There's a lot of stuff we're not privy to. However, people have talked about this a lot because Daley Blind plays with one. And in terms of hypotheticals, Inter obviously play in Serie A. He has 3 years left with Inter. He can't play in Italy. You can't do sports in Italy if you have an ICD, unless if it's nonsense sports like golf or bowling. No disrespect.
Darts.
Yeah, you could probably play darts with an ICD. So that's one of the that's one of the key issues.
Yeah.
Daley Blind is a special dispensation in Holland. He does it, but I checked around. There's very, very few elite level athletes in any sport that play with an ICD. And there's been reports of people saying Daley Blind is taking huge risks every time he chooses to do that. That's his decision.
Yeah.
It's his body. I think we want to take a step back, give Eriksen all the time he needs, and makes his decision. See what kind, because there's also ICDs that get implanted just under the skin, others that get implanted apparently in your rib cage. That has different implications. Let's wait and see. I don't think we should be thinking about this at all, but inevitably people are talking about it, which is why we're talking about it. UEFA have opened an investigation into Hungary fans after observers noted homophobic and racist messaging during their game with France. There were some banners and whatnot. Jules, I thought we were past this.
Yeah, me too, Gab. I have to say, I mean, I didn't hear, watching on television, I didn't hear anything. My friends who were in the stadium didn't hear anything. The players didn't hear anything either, didn't see anything either. So I don't know where it's coming from. If they've opened an investigation, it's because they know that something happened, clearly. We know that the ultras in Hungary are quite extreme, to put it that way. It's just, it's 2021 now, come on.
Yeah, I saw.
Even Hungary have a black player, a French naturalized player, but man, come on.
Well, what struck me was as well, I saw a bunch of fans with a sign saying like a no kneeling sign.
Yes, before the game.
Before the
France
game.
France had already said they would not do it in that game anyway.
But leaving that to one side, like, nobody kneels in Hungary. Like, you're going to get so worked up over this. Like, I don't know. It's a pretty ugly situation.
It is.
And I go back to my point, let the players decide. When Italy played against Wales last night, six Italian players who were on the pitch ended up kneeling.
Yeah,
but you know, out of respect to the opponents, say we join you in your campaign. Fine, we're not going to mandate it from the top. I think that's the way it should be, personally.
Definitely. Sticking with UEFA, Manuel Neuer will not be sanctioned for wearing a captain's armband with a rainbow flag in support of LGBTQ+ rights. Gab, that's the right thing to do. Thank you.
Yeah, and look, to everybody out there who's already initial knee jerk to this about, oh well, why were UEFA investigating him? Somebody filed a complaint. They have to look into it. They have to look into the facts. They have to look at his armband. What does his armband say?
Yep.
If his armband says, and it didn't say this, chill out. If it's just a generic rainbow pride armband, it's one thing. If it's, you know, something on there that says, you know, we will, I don't know, death to anybody who doesn't support LGBTQ rights, that's not fine, right? So then you need to establish the basic fact if somebody files a complaint about it. And they said there's no reason to go and investigate this, but we have to see what happened. I mean, I don't understand this whole mood. I mean, there's enough things to go and criticize them for. And now you end up criticizing them for doing the right thing. I just think it's disappointing. This is one of the core issues, by the way, of UEFA's messaging in terms of inclusion. Nobody's going to get punished for wearing an armband supporting LGBTQ issues, supporting anti-racism messaging, supporting women's football, women's equality. It's just not going to happen, right? It is one of their own priorities. They put out those messaging all the time. So chill out, will you?
Yeah.
Hakan Çalhanoğlu is out of contract with Milan, and reports in Italy say that he could move across town to Inter.
Can he?
Jules, will this be a good move for the Italian champions, perhaps as a short-term replacement for Eriksen?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, on a free, I think the contract offer from Milan was 4 million in wages a year.
4 million euros net
a year.
Inter reportedly offering 5 million net.
So he was not happy with 4, I guess, otherwise he would have taken the offer. Will he be happy with 5? I guess it's a little bit more, maybe. I have to say, I know he had a good season with Milan. I'm not the biggest fan. And these Euros, what I've seen so far from him, both in terms of production with the ball and attitude without the ball, hasn't really convinced me that he's one of those great players that you absolutely have to bring in. I know he's on a free, and maybe Conte and Inter think it's a good coup to do, but I'm not the biggest fan.
I think while the insurance pays Eriksen's wages, you can almost get him for free, and even, you know.
True.
But still, no, I completely agree with you. He had a good first half of the season. He had a really poor, in my opinion, second half of the season. I think it's time to move on for them, even at 4 million euros a year.
Yeah.
I think that's just way too much money.
No Super League in Europe, Gab, as we know, certainly for now. But Patrice Motsepe, the CAF, the African Confederation president, says that they're studying the possibility of a Super League in Africa.
I've made this point before.
Yeah, you've heard it a long time ago.
This has been rumbling for a while. It's the first time that we have official confirmation. What works in some areas may not work in other areas. The argument in favor of this, Gianni Infantino has also said they should look at it from a FIFA perspective, is in Africa you have super clubs, but they can't retain their players because there just isn't the financial model there. Yeah. So I think they would need to look at this very, very carefully. They would need to look at, you know, whether you would have a guaranteed place. They would need to look at the impact on the domestic leagues. But it's a completely different landscape from Europe. You know, these clubs, some of them very well-supported clubs in Africa, don't make any money because you don't have the same framework that you have in Europe. But maybe they could make money. And maybe that money could feed back through the system. And maybe if instead of losing talented players at 18, yeah. as happens now, they can even keep them until they're 21 or 22, then maybe when they sell those players, you know, they would raise the quality of the game. But then when they sell those players, they have more money coming in. Exactly. And it could become more sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be clear on this. The whole Pan-African League, I think, is something maybe worth looking at. Yeah, where I would have an issue with is you can't have guaranteed places every year. That,
yeah, me, it can't be a closed, yeah.
It can't be a closed league and can't, or even one of those like, all right, these guys are always there. These other dudes get invited. No, that for me should be a non-starter.
Yeah.
Daniel Malen is reportedly being tracked closely by Borussia Dortmund. Jules, would he be a good fit at 30 million euros?
It's a big yes for me. Absolutely, Gab. I think he showed last season with PSV how great he is. How
a lot of money for a guy who's 22.
What? Okay, so 8 million was a lot of money for Jadon Sancho when he was 17. Look where he's now.
You can get Malen now. Are you mentioning Jadon Sancho and Daniel Malen?
But you can get Daniel Malen now at 30 million and sell him for 50, 60 easily in 3 years' time. No, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. He's a really talented player. Really, really talented. I like him a lot. He can play wide. He can play centrally. When Haaland is not there, he can play with Haaland up front. I think he offers you a lot. I don't think it's too much money at all for him. Definitely not, Gab.
All right. I'm very much in. Looking at the players, all those attacking midfielder winger types that they already have.
Okay, so Julian Brandt is going to go. Jadon Sancho is going to go.
How are you going to... Who's going to go? All the people... He's going to go. Who's going to take Julian Brandt and his wages?
Someone will. I guarantee you he will go. Sancho will go and they're going to get 90 million for Sancho. So I think getting 90 million for Sancho, spending 30 of those 90
as a replacement for Sancho, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Right,
if you don't sell Sancho or and Brandt, then okay, maybe you don't need him that much for that amount of money. But if Sancho goes, I think it'd be good. I'm a big fan of Daniel Malen. Russia have lodged a complaint with UEFA after Denmark imposed a quarantine on the 2,000 or so fans who were due to travel to their game in Copenhagen this week. Do they have a point?
Well, first of all, safety first. National governments get to decide.
Yeah.
I think what annoyed them a little bit was that, for example, Italy have issued a mandatory 5-day quarantine on anybody coming from the United Kingdom. They announced it on Friday, but it comes in on Monday, and that's because Italy played Wales on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you allow those Welsh fans to go home, which I think, frankly, is a common sense
yeah.
thing to do. Denmark hasn't done that with the Russian fans. And part of the issue, though, is they said basically if you're vaccinated, then you don't have to observe the mandatory quarantine. The problem is you have to be vaccinated with one of the four vaccines that have been recognized by the European Union, which are Pfizer, Moderna,
AstraZeneca,
and Johnson & Johnson, known as Janssen.
Not the Chinese one that Russia have been using?
And not the Sputnik vaccine
and
either.
Not the Sputnik
so they're really, really angry about this. I'm just going to say this. If I wanted to travel to St. Petersburg to watch a game, I'd have a 14-day mandatory quarantine, okay?
Yeah.
So either we allow countries
everyone
to decide this,
exactly.
But you can't complain when you yourself put a quarantine on travelers. It just seems silly.
And isn't that the problem as well for the final and semi-final to a certain extent at Wembley, where UEFA are hoping that the British government would say for the fans who are going to come for the final to support their countries, don't have to quarantine. They can just come on the day, for example, and then leave the next day, which is right now not allowed.
Yeah. So they're trying to find a solution there because also remember they want to increase the capacity at Wembley for the semifinals and final. It is a messy situation because the infection rate right now in England, in the United Kingdom, is higher than it is in most of Europe. So they need to find a solution there. They found a solution for officials and whatnot. And by the way, I spent some time on Friday. I was in Glasgow for the Croatia game, and afterwards I spent some time somebody pretty high up at UEFA. Not Šefrin, by the way, in case you're wondering.
It's disappointing.
But you know what's interesting? You know what they're doing, basically? They're trying to make sure that there's a UEFA presence at every single game.
That's good.
Well, so they've split them into two groups. One group travels with Šefrin. One group travels with, I think it's Theo, the Secretary General. But literally, these guys are going from game to game to game. I mean, the person I met was in Baku the day before. You know? Right. It's pretty wild when you think about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you organize a competition like this in so many cities and countries.
So I guess they have the bubbles and the exceptions and whatever. I mean, that's how they get it done.
Yeah.
Jules, more woes for Chile. It's a hairdresser. Apparently, it's caused a breach in their Copa America bubble.
Yeah, the hairdresser, we saw there might have been even other guests, Gab.
The hairdresser might have had staff with him.
Staff,
or her,
maybe. Maybe staff, there maybe? Was more people for more fun and more parties. Who knows? But
and more really neat haircuts.
Yeah, and really, it's Chile again. It's not the first time. It's Arturo Vidal again, not on his own, with others. But come on, man. Already this Copa America probably should not be playing right now, not in these conditions. We tell you to be in a strict bubble, not take any risk, and then you bring people from the outside in it. I mean, how unprofessional, unserious, crazy, whatever word you want to use it, is this?
Disrespectful too.
Completely. Norway have announced that they will not be boycotting the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Gab, you thought, remember, there was this long protest during the last qualifiers. And now they voted against the boycott.
Yeah, I don't think that they, you know, you can keep highlighting, obviously, human rights abuses, workers' rights, and whatever. But the thing is, it's just a bit weird that you're going to do it now when, if your problem is the way that World Cup was assigned, well, that was more than 10 years ago, and you didn't boycott it then.
Yeah.
Secondly, if your problem was workers' rights, which is, I think, is a very serious issue, well, there has actually been continuous improvement. Now, maybe not to the level that you want it to be at, but you didn't boycott it when it was really bad, right? And now that it's a little better, but not yet where it should be. I think some people have milked this. I think the best thing you can do is keep shining a light, keep holding them accountable. But yeah, the boycott, I don't think was ever going to happen. No. By the way, they haven't qualified yet.
I know, exactly.
Boycott,
yeah.
Right, Jules, that brings us to an end, but we got to be back on Thursday because
we will know by then.
We're going to have all the verdicts.
All the verdicts, all the qualified for the last 16.
And the knockout rounds will start in earnest. Join us then. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.